Welcome to another episode of the Philly Sports Passion Podcast and the Philly Sports Cave Show. I'm your host, Kyle Lutz, with showrunner and co-host Eric Jacinto. Eric, it's good to be back.
How are you?
I'm doing good. And we got the Midsummer Classic coming up tonight, the 90th MLB All-Star Game in Cleveland tonight. It's the first All-Star Game hosted by Cleveland since 97, and the first All-Star Game hosted at their most recent stadium at Progressive Field. The 97 game was at Jacobs Field, and then this is also Cleveland's first, their sixth time hosting the All-Star Game in history. This year, 97, and then the four other times were at Old Cleveland Stadium in 1981, 1963, 1954 and 1935. It should be an interesting game, Eric, even though the Phillies only have one All-Star in JT Realmuto.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I always look forward to this game. It's my favorite the four All-Stars in any sport. I think it's really fun. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Verlander's going for the American and Rye is going for the National League. I think both pitchers have been great this year, and I think it's going to be a tremendous game, and I think JT will probably come in probably midway through the game.
Yeah, and you know the Phillies, you know, for the sixth year in a row, they've only had one All-Star in the game. Some of those years they had, pretty bad teams. But this year, JT Realmuto, reserve catcher. Last year, Aaron Nola was on the team. Pat Neshek, the reliever, was on the 2017. Odubel Herrera was on the 2016 team. Jonathan Papelbon on the 2015 team. And Chase Utley was the starting second baseman for the 2014 team. Obviously we have, you know, right around the corner, before you know it, the Phillies will be hosting the All-Star Game in 2026, which I know it's 7 years away, but, you know, it's not that far away, so that's something to be looking forward to as well.
I can't wait for that.
And MLB recently unveiled the 2019 All-Star Game logo, with the electric guitar as a nod to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. So that was pretty cool. And like I mentioned, you know, it's been over 20 years since Cleveland's had a hosting of the All-Star Game. So, you know, it should be pretty interesting. Like you mentioned, you know, some of the starters and then the elected starters for the American League, Gary Sanchez, former Philly Carlos Santana, DJ Lee Himehu, Alex Bregman, Jorge Polanco, George Springer, Jersey guy and Eagles fan Mike Trout, Michael Brantley, and former Philly Hunter Pence, and look for the National League team, the elected starters for Dave Roberts, Wilson Contreras, Freddie Freeman, Ketel Marte, who I believe I had as my Rookie of the Year, Nolan Arenado, Javier Baez, Ronald Acuna Jr., Cody Bellinger, and Christian Yelich. What are your thoughts on the starters? Do you think they were all, you know, deserving of being the starters, you know, for this year's game, Eric?
I think the one surprise for American League for me is Carlos Santana, especially the way he played last year in Philadelphia. He's back in the All-Star game, I guess, representing the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland. So he should get a standing ovation because he's very popular in Cleveland. Not very so popular here, but that's another story for another day. I think he's having a good year. I think he's back where he's familiar, back where in the organization where he's familiar with and the fans love him. So that's good on him. Happy for Carlos. he's back where he should be. And I think another surprise, maybe Brantley, because he's been injured so much the last couple of years. It's when he was in Cleveland. Another one.
Yeah, for the most part, though, most of these guys, a lot of times it's household names. Sometimes you get a guy who's just having a great year and definitely deserves to be in it. Mike Trout is actually penciled in at the number three spot in the lineup, which is no surprise. And then you said were there any other surprising additions to the starting lineup that you were caught you off guard?
I wouldn't be saying this is a surprise because I voted for him, but Marte, I wouldn't have expected that in the beginning of the season, but Marte is a surprise there. Just from standpoint from the beginning of the season, if you had to choose All-Stars from that point of view.
Yeah, Mike
even DJ
LeMahieu, was kind of a surprise. As you mentioned, Marte is making his first All-Star game as a rookie for the Diamondbacks. Mike Moustakas is his replacement at second base. It's weird that one thing I'll say, it's weird not seeing, I know he's retired, but it's weird not seeing Chase Utley at second base for the National League team. He was such a staple there for so many years. And like I mentioned to you, he was the last Philly to start an All-Star game. And, six All-Stars. I know it's like not a whole lot, but, he was like the household, second baseman in the National League in the 2000s.
Yeah.
For me, I know not just because he was a Philly, but just because he was such a talented player. It's weird not seeing him, in there. And I think if he definitely would have gotten a lot of votes if he was still playing. Maybe he might not have gotten in if he was playing poorly, but he would have definitely gotten a lot of fan votes. He was such a fan favorite. So for me, it's weird not seeing him in there. And speaking of the Dodgers, they're actually going to be the host city next year. Dodger Stadium's going to be back hosting it next year. And then Atlanta, their new ballpark, SunTrust Park, for the first time ever, is going to be hosting it in 2021. So the National League has lost the last six games in the American League, besides the two ties, in 2002 and 1961, leads the all-time All-Star Game Series, 44 games, 44 wins to 43 wins for the National League. What do you make of as far as how the roster shape up? Do you think the National League has an advantage, or do you think the American League will continue their All-Star Game winning streak?
I think looking at both lineups right now, I think the National League lineup is really interesting. They have Ronald Acuna Jr. in the ninth spot, hitting ninth, which is really weird because I would expected him to hit maybe, I guess that fits. Well, him hitting ninth is really odd to me. But in the American League, I thought Trout would be maybe leading off or hitting second, maybe even maybe like Brantley hitting second. But I guess I didn't even expect DJ LeMay to be starting an All-Star game this year.
I know you watched the All-Star game Home Run Derby last night, where the rival Mets player Pete Alonso stole the show, and kind of from what I read, it was kind of an interesting Home Run Derby with him and Vlad Guerrero Jr. And apparently, according to Fox Sports, Alonso is going to donate part of his $1 million Home Run Derby winnings to multiple charities. you know, and I believe he outslugged Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the Home Run Derby Finals. Did you watch the Home Run Derby, and what were your thoughts on that? Anything that stuck out particularly, or multiple things that stuck out to you?
It was a rookie showcase, that's for sure. Vlad, I missed the first round. I missed like the first half of the first round. But Vlad put on a show. The second round was phenomenal between him and Jock Peterson of the Dodgers. They went to like three tiebreakers before Vlad won 40-39. They had like one tiebreaker of 30 seconds, and then they had two swing-offs of three swings each, and Vlad finally pulled it out and went to the final, and then Peter Alonso beat out Ronald Acuna Jr., who was, I think, was a favorite going to the Home Run Derby last night, because Christian Yelich he dropped out because of an injury, so I'm not surprised that Peter Alonso won, because he has raw power, and so does Vlad, so I think Vlad...
Yeah,
knows,
I'm actually surprised that he's not in the starting lineup for the National League, because I was talking to you and a couple other people about it, and just, you know, like, you know, as much as I hate the Mets, I admit he's a great player, and he's just an amazing power hitter. You know, and he put on a show in the Home Run Derby last night, and, you know, he's going to be a star for a while, I think. According to one thing I want to mention, group of things, according to ESPN and StatCast, Matt Chapman of the A's had the longest home run distance in the Home Run Derby last night, the longest average home run distance, I'm sorry, at 432 feet. The longest home run in the Derby last night belonged to Vlad Guerrero Jr., almost 500 feet at 488 feet in round two. Like you mentioned, he put on a show in round two. He also led all hitters in the Derby in most 450 feet home runs. He had 17 of them. And then he also hit one that was 114 miles per hour in round two. Ronald Acuna Jr. Had the highest average exit velocity home run at 107.4 miles per hour. And, you know, there were several hitters that just had, you know, home runs that were over 450 feet. So, you know, it was actually a very impressive performance, and probably, you know, one of the better ones in a while. You know, so it's kind of interesting. I do think the National League has the advantage in the game tonight. Justin Verlander starting for the American League and on the mound, and, you know, he's obviously a veteran guy, and he's been in it a while. So I think he kind of has the edge on the mound. This is actually his eighth All-Star game, and he's pitching for the Astros in the game. So, and the Dodgers, I think his name is Ryu. I can't say his name. This is, I believe, his first All-Star game. So there are a few guys that have had, actually more than a few guys, that are in their first appearance. Several of them are pitchers. Then JT Realmuto for the Phillies, I believe, is making his appearance. Were there any Phillies were there any Phillies that you thought got snubbed from the game?
Maybe Hector Neris, because I thought he was one of the better closers in the National League this year. There's not that many good closers. I thought he would get the nod. Craig Kimbrel came in late, so he didn't count. You got the Dodgers closer, and Javier Baez. No, not Javier Baez. Jordan Blank.
Well, anyways, I think Reese was kind of a bubble guy. 20 home runs, you know, an OBP over 400. Reese Hoskins, first baseman in such a prime position. You know, I'm not sure if he was even, you know, in the hunt for the final vote or if he was close. I didn't pay attention to the voting results or who was nominated, and then they have a final vote. But for me, I think even though the Phillies have a winning record this year, 47-43, and they're still in the hunt for a playoff position in the wild card, and there's obviously still plenty of games left, you know, for the division lead for the Braves. They're 6.5 games back, even though they're a half game back behind the Nats now for second place. But even though we have a winning record, there weren't really a lot of guys that had like all-star years. Like Hector Neris has had a good year, but a 3.16 ERA, it's kind of in between like great and like not bad. I think Neris has had a good year, but I don't think he's had enough to really stick out. I think if he had a few more saves, he's had 17 saves, and you know, and his ERA was kind of trimmed a little bit more, I think he would be, you know, a guy that would be, you know, a guy that could be in it. Aaron Nola has a good record, but has a poor ERA, 8-2 record, and an ERA at 3.74. And he's allowed a lot of hits this year, average 8.1 hits per nine. So Nola, to me, it wasn't surprising that he, you know, didn't get in for the second year in a row. I think the only interesting thing is that if Scott Kingery played more games, he's played 58 games this year and has 218 plate appearances. If he played in like 25 more games, he probably would have gotten a reserve role in center field because, you know, 292 batting average, you know, pretty good OPS at 889. You know, Andrew McCutchen, if he stayed healthy, he probably would have been in there. Bryce Harper has just not had a good year. He's kind of been very streaky. Real Muto is kind of the hybrid of you know, strong hitting and, you know, awareness behind the plate. So I don't think it was surprising that Real Muto got in. Segura kind of started out hot. He's been kind of streaky as well, and he's kind of cooled off. And Cesar Hernandez, you know, has a good average, 285, but he doesn't have any power, and he's not, you know, stole a whole lot of bases or drew a lot of walks. So he's kind of the guy where he's done really nothing but, you know, hit for average and have decent defense. And so just kind of running down some of the Phillies players, you know, Zach Eflin, you know, got off to a good start but kind of cooled down as well. Nick Pivetta has been horrible. So we'll get into our grades in a second. I don't want to make this a whole thing. But I'm not really surprised by the fact that the Phillies only had one all-star despite their record. So, you know, it should be an interesting game. I think the National League is going to put up a pretty good fight this year, and I think it should be an interesting game. I'd like to see Mike Trout do well as a New Jersey native and an Eagles fan. I don't know if you saw this, but Jim Salisbury of NBCSN Philly actually asked yesterday Mike Trout about the Eagles. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Yeah. He actually asked, you know, how the Eagles are going to do this year. Thanks to the Eagles, you know, are going to be Super Bowl contenders, that Carson is going to have a bounce back year, as we all know in Eagles land. He's a close buddy of Carson's, but he would definitely know more than, you know, the average diehard Philly fan. You know, we'll talk some Eagles in future shows, but I thought that was interesting that he was asked that. And, you know, being a Millville guy, and he's always spotted behind the end zone. So, you know, the game is always fun. Like you mentioned, it's arguably the best all-star game out of the four pro. I think it's probably my favorite as well, and I think it's definitely the best one. The Pro Bowl is just – football is such a team sport. The Pro Bowl has just never been good. And I think people kind of, you know that and kind of laugh at it for that. You know, the NBA All-Star game used to be better, and now the scores are just like, you know, it's 190 to 189. And
yeah, just too much scoring.
It's not really a game anymore. It's just like, it's not even like a backyard
game.
It's just, it's kind of like, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, NBA 2K, except in an all-star game form. So I like the fact that MLB kind of takes them more serious. I'm glad that they got rid of the stupid rule. I believe they did, where that it used to count towards home field advantage in the World Series, which I think was really stupid because it's an exhibition game.
I was going to ask you what you thought about that.
Yeah, that was one of the stupidest things ever. Then if you're a fan of a team that won, let's say, 105 games versus their counterpart in the World Series who won, let's say, 15 fewer games, and that team that had fewer wins by 15 or 20 games has home field advantage, is just it's kind of similar to me of when they had the 2-3-2 format in World Series, and I just think it kind of was a disadvantage for teams that were in the World Series that had, you know, really good records and really deserved it. But I think it should be fun. The festivities are always interesting. So, I don't know, unless you have anything more to add on this year's game or any of the starters. I know we wanted to get into our Phillies grades for the first half. Phillies, kind of cooled off from the hot start. You know, last year they had the hot start as well, and obviously we saw what happened with that. And me and you, we have, we can kind of agree to disagree on our opinion of Gabe. And
of course.
But did you want to start with your Phillies grades for the first half?
Yeah, I just want to give one more thought about the All-Star game. I'll give it one prediction. I think the National League comes away with a 5-4 victory, and I think Christian Yelich will win the MVP. Do you have any predictions?
I'm gonna say 7-4 National League, and I actually have Yelich as my MVP as well. I think it's, I'm not sure offhand the last time a Brewer won a All-Star Game MVP. I don't know if Ryan Braun ever won one, but a Brewer is definitely due for one. Yelich is one of the
Prince
best
Fielder.
Guys. Most Prince Fielder won one. Okay, well,
I think so.
Yelich is one of the premier guys in the National League and a class act, and it should be pretty interesting. So I think it'll be, a pretty close game all the way, and I think the National League breaks the six-game winning streak by the American League. So, we'll see what happens. A fun fact, actually, the All-Star Game, even though it started in 1933, All-Star Game MVPs weren't awarded until the 62 game in Washington. Maury Wills was the inaugural winner. Actually, there were, they started out. There was actually a game that was canceled because of World War II in 1945. It was actually due to be played in Fenway, and then Fenway ended up hosting it the next year. But yeah, so there went almost 30 years without ever being a MLB All-Star Game MVP being awarded. The Dodgers, Maury Wills, who was a shortstop, was the inaugural winner, which is interesting. I'm going to actually do some research and try to find the last Brewer to win it, because I just found that Prince Fielder in 2011, you were right, at Chase Field, the National League won the game 5-1. So, if our predictions ring true, Yelich would be the first Brewers All-Star Game MVP in almost a decade. So, should be a fun game.
That's pretty cool.
You know, Cleveland's overdue for one, and like I mentioned, this will be the first time that Progressive has hosted the game. Next year, it's in Dodger Stadium, then Atlanta, and then down the line, the Phillies are going to be hosting it. So we're getting to our Phillies first half predictions. I'm sorry, our first half grades. And, you know, it's kind of been a bumpy road. Did you want to start with yours?
Yeah, I'll give Gabe a grade. I'll give him a B plus, just because of all the injuries he's had and all the pitchers starting pitching has been garbage, and the bullpen has been garbage at times. And I don't solely fault him on that. He's had his issues with pulling pitchers early, and that's one knock on him I have on him. But I give him a C plus just to be fair, because all the pitching has just been garbage. Let's be real there. I hope in the second half the pitching gets better, but we need to make a trade. That's the bottom line. What do you think?
Yeah, the multiple sources were linking Madison Bumgarner to several teams. I'll have to find the link. I think it was on The Athletic. And actually, yesterday afternoon, round two, Ken Rosenthal, MLB insider from The Athletic, said that the market for Mad Bum was heating up since the Giants are not in a division race. And obviously, he's a premier pitcher. Sources say that the Astros, Twins, Braves, and Brewers are among the ones that are leading the pack in interest for Madison Bumgarner. And I was kind of surprised and kind of, disappointed in the fact that the Phillies were one of those teams. This past offseason, I was really impressed by some of the things that ownership and management was doing. But to be honest, I really haven't been impressed with Matt Klentak. I really think he's kind of sat far back, and I'm not sure. I'm not a reporter, so I'm not sure, what moves that he's been doing, but or what moves he's been looking at doing, I should say, and what he has in mind. But I really think some of those off-season moves were kind of, ownership's Middleton's doing, kind of especially the Harper thing. I just think that Middleton's handprints were all over that, and I'm not trying to, overly critique Klentak, but I just think that he should be a little bit more, not hands-on, but aggressive. Yeah, aggressive, especially since this team has just been, struggling, the past couple months. You look in March and April, they were combined 16-13, and then from June on, they've been 14-19, and they've lost a significant amount of games recently. They were once 11 games over 500, and they from like middle of June to end of June, they had a 7-game losing streak. I just think they haven't. I guess to a good way of putting it, considering the market and some of the especially the starting pitchers that are out there and some of the other talent that could be acquired. I just don't think they're not showing the aggressiveness, for the needs that they have. So, I really would like them to kind of evaluate the team over the next couple of weeks before the July 31st trade deadline, and try to pick up some pieces. So, I'm going to actually do my grades now. JT Realmuto, catcher, I give him a B. I think he's been, consistent, nothing great, but, he's done his part. Rhys Hoskins at first base. I give him a B plus. I think times he, you know, can kind of struggle with the defensive part of playing. I don't think he's a liability, but it's not his strength. He's one of the National League leaders in home runs with 20, and he's also up there in on base percentage and walks too. So B plus for Hoskins. Cesar Hernandez, I give him a B minus, although he has a respectable average. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, he really hasn't done a whole lot else. But you know, considering the fact that you know he's, you know, he hasn't been the worst hitter, I give him that. Gene Segura, I give him a C. I think he started out hot and he's kind of fizzled out. 278 average, you know, decent defense. But I don't think it's made up enough for his lack of hitting. And this team has just been, you know, kind of average when it comes to stolen bases too. They're kind of middle of the pack in stolen bases. And I think some of the pieces that we could pick up at the trade deadline could maybe rectify some of that. Michael Franco, I think he's been god awful. And actually, I think he's been a liability to the team. So I'm actually going to give him. I'm actually going to give him an F, 227 average. I don't want to sugarcoat this. I thought about giving him a D, but his wins above replacement is in the negatives, which means he's costing the team wins when he's played, and yet his
wow.
salary this year is over $5 million, $5.2 million, and he has a negative 0.2 wins above replacement, and when he's played this year, the team has a losing record, you know, in terms of like winning probability. So you know, it's kind of tough to really get where he's at because he hasn't really, you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot, and as they say, he hasn't hit his weight either. So I would really like to see him kind of work with a trainer and work with a hitting instructor because, you know, a lot of people were once, you know, high on him. It's unfortunate with Andrew McCutchen. I think prior to his injury, he was doing well. I'm not going to grade him because of his injury. Odubel Herrera because of the suspension. I'm not going to grade him either. Scott Kingery at center field. I'm actually going to give him a B plus, a 292 average. He's actually been one of the lone bright spots in this lineup. Jay Bruce, I actually give an A minus in left field. He's been with the team very shortly, only just over 100 plate appearances. But as we both know, he's been red hot. And ever since he's been with the Phillies, he's been one of the best power hitting National League hitters since his arrival. And Bryce Harper, I have to probably give him a C minus. So far, he's, you know, I think a lot of people can agree that we overpaid for him, but I think that was, you know, what was going to happen. The team that was going to get his services was going to overpay for him, and that was going to be the market.
Exactly.
But regardless of that, I think he could be a little bit better, actually a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, his on-base percentage is decent, but he's only hit 253. You know, I just would like overall he could do things a little bit better. And then getting to the pitching staff, I'll start with the rotation. Aaron Nola, I'm gonna give Nola a C plus. He has a decent WHIP at 1.3, but he's allowed a lot of hits. But he also has a lot of strikeouts. And I think the team has kind of, you know, put up, you know, a lot of offense in his starts. He's gotten good run support considering his win-loss record at 8-2, but his ERA has been lackluster. So C plus for Nola. Jake Arrieta, it's hard because he was kind of, he should have been on the disabled list sooner. And I think that he was kind of, you know, ruining his chances at, you know, at wins and at a better contract. Even though I didn't give a grade for some of the other guys that were injured, I'm going to give one for Arrieta because I think he was foolishly kind of playing through the pain. I respect that for him, but at the same time, I think he should have just been going on the disabled list sooner. I'm going to give Arrieta a C minus. I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, the fact that he was pitching despite how bad he was. Theoretically, he's been a D or, you know, a failure of a pitcher this year, considering his ERA and the amount of hits that he's averaged per start. But considering his injuries, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Zach Eflin, I'm going to give him a C as well. I think he started out the season strong and then kind of showed, you know, what kind of pitcher he was. Nick Pivetta, I'm going to kind of race through these here. I want to get your opinion on your grades. Nick Pivetta, I give an F. If there was an F minus, I would give that to him because he's been god-awful, and I'm not sure why they continue to trot him out there. There's got to be a better option. Jared Eichhoff's on the disabled list, but he's been, you know, a failure as well. I guess if I'm giving out grades for injured players, McCutcheon, I would probably give it like a B minus two, and Odubel Herrera was probably close to an F as well. I'll give him a D minus. And actually, okay. getting to the bullpen real quick, and then I'll get your opinion. Hector Neris, I think he's been solid. I give him an A minus. Juan Nicasio, who's on the disabled list, I give him an F. I'm actually going to give change my grade for Herrera, and I give him an F as well, just because of the backlash. Jose Alvarez, I'm going to give him a C plus. Sir Anthony Dominguez, who's also on the disabled list, give him a C minus. I think he's kind of a streaky guy. I think this team's really missing a guy like Pat Neshek, who, you know, who was really not really a setup guy, but was doing strong in his role. And I think, you know, Vince Velasquez has yet to determine a role for him because he's a guy who can strike out a lot of guys but gives up a lot. And to finalize my grades for the players, Adam Morgan, I'm gonna give Adam Morgan a C plus. He has a strong WHIP, but he has a high ERA, and he's been decent this year. And for Gabe, I'm actually going to give him as a grade for the manager, probably a C minus. I want to give him a D, but I have to be fair. I think the team would be better without him, but the team has a winning record regardless. So I'm going to give Gabe a C minus, and those are my grades.
Yep, excellent. Let me go with mine. JT, I give a B. First baseman Hoskins, I give him a B plus. Second baseman Cesar Hernandez, C plus. Shortstop Gene Segura, I give a B because he started out good. He just had a couple of weeks of slumping. And he's been decent defensively, so. Third baseman Franco, I'll be a little nice here. I'll give him a D minus. Who else? Jay Bruce, I give him an A. since he's arrived. Scott Kingery, I give him a B plus. He needs to cut down the strikeouts himself because he's a leadoff hitter. So Bryce Harper, I'll give a C plus. He needs to cut down his strikeouts too. The starters, I'll just do the starters in general. So I'll give the starters an F. Besides Nola, I'll give him probably a C minus. In the bullpen, I'll give an overall grade. I give an F. And Gabe, I give a C plus.
Yeah, this team's. And do you have a grade for Gabe if you had to give one through 90 games?
C plus.
Yeah, I think we can agree that, you know, he's, you know, I don't think he's solely to blame for this team kind of trotting off after their hot start. And, you know, we both kind of just mentioned some of the faults. I mean, you had the suspension, you know, to Herrera. Not that he's, you know, the best hitter in the lineup, but, you know, he would definitely contribute. And despite the additions of Kingery and Bruce, who have both been fantastic. You know, this team has had some injuries. We mentioned, you know, Jake Arrieta has just been, he's it's a shame because he was once the best hitter, the best pitcher in the National League. You know, four or five years ago, when he won that Cy Young in 2015 with the Cubs, and he led the league in wins, but then he was also led the league in shutouts and complete games, and he was an MVP candidate. And then he put up some respectable years after that with Chicago. And then, you know, a lot of times after pitchers, starting pitchers especially, because they're pitching usually over, you know, 200 innings a year if they're healthy, and if they're, you know, like a top of the rotation guy like he is. You know, after he turned 31, I guess, you know, with the Phillies the last 2 years, you know, he struggled with some injuries, but he's just been below average. And he actually has a 4.23 ERA with the Phillies since he arrived. So I know part of that's because he's played while injured, but let's be honest here, you know, he has to be accountable, and he's had some personal issues as well with, you know, with the media and just his attitude. And you know, so hopefully he can turn it around once he returns from injury. But, you know, I think we can agree that Gabe has definitely not been the sole issue. So we also wanted to get our, at least I had my midseason award winners at the All-Star break. I'm going to start with MVP for the Dodgers. I have Cody Bellinger as the NL MVP. For me, if the season ended today, Bellinger, as of the All-Star break, is leading the league in OPS, adjusted OPS, in total bases, made the NL All-Star team, might even be a starter, I haven't checked. He has over 30 home runs, 336 average, 432 OBP, and his OPS is over 1,000. And then, you know, all too familiar, the AL MVP, if the season ended today, I have Mike Trout. It wasn't anything to do with, you know, him being an Eagles fan. I just think, you know, looking at some of the guys that were leading the league, and he was up there. He's leading the league in the American League in home runs, RBIs, walks, OBP, slugging, OPS, adjusted OPS, total bases, and intentional walks as well, and he's probably up there in runs and hits as well. So 301 average, OPS over 1,000, slugging percentage has always been strong. Those are my two MVP winners, and then I'll go with National League. I'm sorry, I'll go with my Cy Young winners. For the National League, it's Max Scherzer, who's kind of, you know, he's kind of settled into his role with the Nationals, I feel like. you know, after being with Detroit for a while, and then Arizona this year, he's not leading the league in wins or ERA, but he leads the league in innings pitched and strikeouts. He's actually, if the season ended today, this would be the fourth straight year that he led the league in strikeouts, which is amazing. It's like Randy Johnson type numbers. He actually averages this year 12.6 strikeouts per nine innings, 129.1 innings pitched, 2.3 ERA. I don't really go by wins, but his win-loss record is respectable at 9-5. He doesn't have any complete games or shutouts, but he's always been consistent. And, you know, if he continues like this, he's on the Hall of Fame pace. And then in the American League, kind of an opposite guy who hasn't really been in this position in the driver's seat to kind of win the award, in my opinion, is Tampa Bay's Charlie Morton. I know he was an all-star last year as well as this year. He leads the American League in ERA this year, as well as FIP, which is Fielding Independent Pitching. 2.32 ERA, 10-2 record, 112, just over 112 innings, and he's been solid for, you know, a solid race pitching staff. I'm going to kind of breeze by these. As we saw last night, my Rookie of the Year vote is Pete Alonso for the National League. Obviously won the Home Run Derby, and he's been on like a record pace for home runs. He's on pace to hit over 50. And my Rookie of the Year vote for the American League is Baltimore starting pitcher John Means, who's kind of – he's not really leading any category, but he's kind of been probably the guy that's been most consistent. 7-4 record, 2.5 – ERA, solid whip, and he made the All-Star team. Let me get my comeback player of the year is Ketel Marte, who we mentioned earlier from the D-backs in the National League, and Mike Minor for Texas in the American League. And then to round out my manager of the year votes for the National League, I have Dave Roberts. Typically, I like to go with a guy who's, you know, leading a team to, you know, a surprise run. I think if Gabe was doing a little bit better job and the Phillies, you know, were taking care of business on the field, he might be in the hunt. But the Dodgers are doing so solid this year, it's tough to really overlook Roberts, who is also the starting manager for the National League in the All-Star game this year because the Dodgers won the pennant. And then rounding out my midseason awards, Rocco Belladelli, former player who's done a fantastic job with the Twins this year, who lead the Central. They're 5.5 games ahead of Cleveland, like I mentioned, is hosting the All-Star game. So I really think that team has kind of exceeded expectations. And he's also in his first year of managing, too, which is even more impressive. So those are my winners. I don't know if you had any that you wanted to mention or if you had any comments on mine.
I will start with the manager of the year. I'll go work my way up. For the American League, I'll actually go with Aaron Boone for the Yankees. The injuries the Yankees have had all year and missing two of their biggest big pops in the lineup, and Judge and Stanton, he's managed to have that team in first place. Ahead of the defending champions, Red Sox, who've been struggling. I'm actually going to go Aaron Boone. And then in the National League, I'll agree with you and Dave Roberts. I think they have already won 60 games. They're on pace to win over 100 games this year. Comeback player of the year, I'll go with Michael Brantley of the Houston Astros. In the National League, I'll go with I'll agree with you and go with Marte. The Rookie of the Year, I'll go with for the American League, I'll go with Michael Chavez for the Boston Red Sox. He's been really good since he came up. And nationally, I'll go with, I'll have to go with, what's the Braves one? I'll go with
Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I'm going with Boston. Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're going with who?
Austin Riley for the Atlanta Braves. MVP, I'll go with Christian Yelich in the National League, and in the American League, I'll go with Mike Trout in the National League. In the American League, I mean. Yeah, that's about it. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you about, that Aaron Boone's done a fantastic job, with the Yankees, and this is only his second year. Last year, he led them to 100 wins. They have a good team on paper, but like you mentioned, he's led the team to a first-place finish at the All-Star break, despite the amount of injuries. If you look at Baseball Reference, they have double-digit injuries, and they have a few of their guys, including Luke Voit, Cameron Maybin, and Clint Frazier. Three of their injuries are to members of their starting lineup, and they've had some injuries to their bullpen too. He's done a fantastic job. I think that's going to be a close race between him and Baldelli of the Twins, who's in his first year. I think Trout's kind of a runaway for the American League MVP. The Braves have I'm kind of segueing into our second half predictions as we wrap up the last less than 10 minutes here. Been really impressed. I kind of want to clench my teeth because they're the Braves and a divisional rival, but the Braves have done a good job in the first half. And, part of it, they beat up on, an injured Phillies team who really hasn't found their image yet or, what they're all about. I feel like the Phillies are still probably a couple years away. I know it sounds weird because they got so many players, so many star players in the off season.
Yeah.
But the fact that, they haven't really meshed well, the Phillies, I mean, and, I think we can agree on that. And that kind of, plays a part in their record. And to what I was saying earlier, in the fact that it's not just Gabe's fault for, the fact that they've kind of slid back in the standings. But, excuse me, I actually read recently that the Cubs are actually looking to get rid of some pieces, and like Theo Epstein, who's not the GM, but the president over there, looking to kind of shed some payroll. So, if you're the Phillies, I actually heard that Cole Hamels could be had once he returns from injury. He's actually listed on the 10-day DL. That was updated a week ago with a left oblique strain. He's expected to be out of commission until right around the end of the month, which is when the trade deadline is. So I know there's the waiver deadline, but he's been Hamels, obviously, household name in Philly, spent his first 10 years here, has been solid here. So far this year before his injury with Chicago in his second year here, six and three with a sub-3 ERA and a, respectable amount of strikeouts, 8.8 strikeouts per nine, 2.98 in ERA for Hamels before he suffered that oblique strain. We can kind of discuss him on the next show because I know we want to discuss some second half predictions. I think Milwaukee could definitely make a run at that Central Division, a title with Chicago. They're a half game back, and I know St. Louis and Pittsburgh are in the hunt, and even Cincinnati's not that far behind if you look at it. That Central Division in the National League is to be had for whoever wants it, because the Cubs really, they've had some injuries. They've also underperformed, I feel, as well. And, you know, so much attention has been focused on the Dodgers and how, like, they've run away with it. You know, the Diamondbacks have been, like, an average team, and the Dodgers are, you know, probably, like, in a month from now, they could be almost clinching it if they really are hot right after the All-Star break. You know, as far as team predictions, I see the Phillies, you know, if they get healthy, they could make a run at that second wild card spot. But I think the Nationals are just more, team ready in the time being and kind of, you know where they are. Plus Milwaukee is another team that if Chicago kind of plays well, Milwaukee could slide into that or stay in that spot. I think the American League is going to be interesting because the Red Sox obviously winning the World Series last year. Injuries are a part of the game, but they've underperformed greatly. I think they could make a play, you know, with the Rays for that second spot in the East. And I don't think either team's catching the Yankees, but the Twins and the Indians should be interesting in the Central if Minnesota comes down to earth. And then in the West, in the American League, I think the Angel, the Halos and the Rangers, you know, could make it interesting with the Athletics, you know, for the wild card spot. I see a lot of the same predictions coming true as far as the players. You know, I don't see a whole lot changing. Bryce Harper could be, MVP candidate if he kind of comes into form and plays like he should be. It seems like Harper kind of, you know, alternates, great years. He'll have a down year, then almost like a contract year, and then he'll step right up and play great. So it should be an interesting second half. We have the All-Star game at 7:30 tonight on Fox. But before we go, I wanted to get your second half predictions. Anything, you know, from a team or from a player that you think, you know, sticks out to you that'll happen or should happen?
I'm going to go out and say this. I think the Nationals could steal the NL East. I think they just have a better starting staff than both the Phillies and Braves. Both the Phillies and Braves. Their bullpen is not that great. As nobody's bullpen is that great in the National League East, to be quite frank. But I think the Nationals have a better starting staff. I think they have a better lineup, but they have a solid lineup. I think up and down that lineup, I think they have more veterans on that lineup. I think the Braves are going to cool off a little bit because they've been so hot, and every team does cool off. I'm not just saying that because I hate the Braves, but I think they're going to cool off a little bit, and I think the Nationals could steal the NL East. That's my bold prediction right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Nats, they have, I call it the big three, but with their rotation is so solid with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin, and then you have a wild card guy who, you know, if he plays well, could propel the team, and Anibal Sanchez. And then they have a horrible bullpen, besides Sean Doolittle. So they could be a team that really picks up somebody at the deadline, and can kind of, you know, benefit from a strong, trade deadline piece for a bullpen guy. So it should be an interesting second half. We'll have a fun 90th All-Star game tonight. We'll talk some more Phillies next time, but I want to thank Eric for coming on again and join us next time for another episode of the Phillies Sports Passion podcast.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Eric.